You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
All right, welcome again. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Bert Thompson, along with my wife Sheila. We are the senior pastors at our church. Our senior associate pastor and teaching pastor Richard is still away for one more week in the UK visiting his family, who he hasn't seen for many times. Some of you don't know that Richard was actually born in England, and I think when he was four, they moved to South Africa, and he spent most of Joshua, son of Moses' assistant. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites." Moses, my servant, is dead. So here's our opening question. What are you holding on to that's already dead? What are you holding on to that's already dead? Sometimes it's a dream, a relationship, a role, a version of yourself. And though it has expired, we keep feeding it hope, memory, and emotion, hoping somehow it'll come back to life. I've got a classic three-point sermon for you today. Point one, acknowledge what is dead. Acknowledge what is dead. Even though Joshua knew Moses was dead, in fact, the scripture says that Moses had a part of burying Moses, so he knew Moses was dead. Why would God say and remind him, "Moses, my servant, is dead"? It's because of this. There's a difference between knowing something is over and living like it's over. There's a difference. Joshua had been Moses' assistant. He clung to Moses. It says in Exodus 33:11 that when Moses went up to meet with God, Joshua wouldn't depart from the tent of Moses. He clung to Moses. And there's a time to cling to what God has before you. Moses was Israel's miracle worker, lawgiver, deliverer, the man who spoke face to face with God. Who could beat that? But sometimes our past is so glorious that we can't imagine a future without it. Sometimes in life, it's not really the bad things we're trying to get over. It's, where did the good times go? Why aren't they here now? But God had a new assignment and a new chapter, and Joshua could not walk into it until he accepted the death of the previous one. You know, there's other examples in Scripture about letting go or letting things die. When the first king of Israel died, Saul, Samuel, who appointed Saul, and it was the first king of Israel, Samuel put a lot of stock in Saul. Saul didn't pan out. He went his own way. And again, Moses came, or God came to Samuel, and he said, "How long will you mourn over Saul? How long will you keep mourning over Saul?" You know, mourning doesn't go on forever. And he was stuck on mourning Saul, not understanding that God wanted him to move on and appoint King David. You know, sometimes the past is so glorious we can't imagine a future without it. Jesus said this, "Let the dead bury their dead." When someone wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And different people were making their excuses of why they couldn't follow Jesus. And one guy said, "Let me first, you know, bury my father and mother." Didn't mean don't go. And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Acknowledge that they're dead. Come and follow me." Now, he wasn't saying don't go to your parents' funeral. In those days, it was a saying that let me wait until my parents' life has expired and we, you know, and then I'll come later and follow you, Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus declares himself as Lord. It could be family and friends, according to Jesus, are the thing that actually hold you back in going further with Jesus. I can remember when we started the church at the University of Calgary, and we were mostly students, and I can remember one young guy that we were reaching out to, his name was Sean, and he was from Malaysia, Buddhist background, and was coming out to the church and getting really, you could sense the Spirit of God drawing him, to himself. And he prayed a prayer of commitment, and then we were going through the Bible. I said, Sean, now your next step is to be baptized, to follow Jesus and make your faith public. And he said, I get it, okay. And then he came back to me about a week later. He said, well, I asked my mom and dad, and they won't let me get baptized. And I said, Sean, you might have to let the dead bury the dead. Because if you follow Jesus, you have a choice. Are you going to follow what your parents say or what Jesus says? And he said, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm here studying in Canada. My money comes from my parents. And not only that, I'll probably be kicked out of our family if I disobey them and get baptized. They said I can still come to like the barbecues and maybe church once in a while. I just can't get baptized. And I said, Sean, you're going to have to make a decision whether Jesus is Lord or your family is Lord, and let the dead bury the dead, as Jesus said. And I said, look, I don't want you to make a snap decision, because I understand that if they cut you off and you're stranded here, we may have a fourth son in our family. But I let him wrestle with it. And then after a number of weeks, he came and he said, I can't not follow Jesus. This is very hard for me, but I want to get baptized. And he did. Now, in this particular case, it doesn't always turn out this way, because we've had people from different religious backgrounds give this, and they were considered dead to their family from then on in. Happily, in this one, his parents actually came around. They didn't get saved. At least, I don't know, he's back in Malaysia now, but at least, it turned out happy in that sense, so they didn't cut him off. But Sean was willing. He was willing to go all in with Jesus. He was willing to let what his main thing in his life, which was just follow his parents and follow his own will, to let that die, to say, no, Jesus is now my Lord. Jesus is now my Lord. He is the one that I give first allegiance to. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time for everything. There's a season for everything in our life. Thinking about in our own lives, my own life and Sheila and I's own life, after Calgary, we had the privilege of moving to Nashville, Tennessee, and helping building our North American headquarters. And for those years, it just seemed like God was just pouring out his goodness on us. From ministry, our church grew from about 500 to 3,500. We had bought lands and buildings, and there was just campus ministry was taking off. All the things that we were involved in, not just us alone, it was a team of us. And then after that came to an end, we were able to build a big house. I mean, a 6-bedroom, 6.5 bathroom house on a golf course. All our family was together, our 4 kids. And we didn't have to raise any support. There was lots of money. And not only that, I was a marathon runner. And I had the most amazing group of men and women that we used to meet a couple times a week and sometimes even go to races out of town together. And I was in way better shape and had this amazing group of people that I considered some of my dearest friends, because I was passionate about running. And anyway, so there was just a lot of things. And I'm sharing this to be vulnerable in the sense of there's just times that I think, okay, I'm just going to pretend I'm in a therapy office and you're my therapist all year, that I just wish life was more like that. And even in my own heart, I hear the Lord saying, that season is dead. Don't keep going back. You can have a fond memory, you can grieve, or you can be stuck in the past. And for me, even this is why I prayed at the beginning, that this sermon is for me and for you, because I have these things too, and I just shared one of them. And I feel like the Lord has really put on my heart, you got to change your relationship to that season of your life, in your own emotions and in your own life. So a couple years ago, I read a book by a great Christian psychologist named Henry Cloud. How many of you have ever read the book Boundaries? You ever heard of the book Boundaries? It's one of the classics. Another one of his books is called Necessary Endings, and this is what he says in his book, Necessary Endings. Endings are only a part of life, are not only a part of life, they are a requirement for living and thriving professionally and personally. Let me say that again. Endings are not only a part of life, they are a requirement for living and thriving professionally and personally. So the first point was acknowledge what's dead. Point two, stop clinging to what God has closed. Stop clinging. There's a time to cling and there's a time to release. Joshua had learned loyalty and he stuck by Moses and it served him in his past, but Moses couldn't lead him into the future. Sometimes it's a relationship that needs to end. That person helped you in a season, but now it's unhealthy, codependent, misaligned with your call. Sometimes it's a job that needs to end. It paid the bills, but it's not where your fruitfulness lies any longer. Sometimes it's a dream that doesn't fit your reality. You know, going back to the, 5'2" boy who is 16 and still is shooting for the NBA. Sometimes it's our own self-image. Who we were in our 20s isn't who God's calling us to be now. Sometimes you can always think of yourself as a child, but there's a time where you got to say, look, I'm an adult. And then you have to say, whether you have kids or not, I'm now a spiritual mother and father. Because we all have a tendency to want to stay children. Isn't it nice to just get looked after? Yeah. Yeah, we all love that, right? But there's a time for seasons to close, and then you move forward into the next thing. So here's the point. The longer you hold on to what was, the harder it is to see what is. See, and here's the problem why God had to come to Joshua and say, Moses is dead. Even though he knew he was dead. He was speaking on a different level. Because the longer we hold on to what was, the harder it is to see what is. You know, another thing we have to let die is our idols. We do quite a bit of teaching in this church based on some of the work of Dr. Timothy Keller, the great pastor who's now gone to be with the Lord. But he really looked at sin through the lens of idolatry, meaning what do we replace God with to give us meaning, safety, a sense of security, safety, significance, and strength. And he has a lot of writings on idols of the heart. And it's very hard to often discern idols of the heart because they're so deep within us, we don't even know when we're trusting something other than Christ in a certain situation. It took me a long time to realize one of the main idols of my heart are needing to be right. Just needing to be right. I would over-argue with my wife. And how many times have I created friction? Probably my kids too. And like over-argue a point or making a point so extreme. But deep down is because that's how I feel. It was an idol of my heart. It's like that's how I felt safe. That's how I felt like a somebody. That's how I felt that there was a sense of security and worth in my very identity. And from time to time, that old idol still wants to resurrect from the dead. And I still keep killing it when it crops up, and repent to my wife and others when the idol of the heart creeps up. And there's all kinds of idols. It can be, but here's the thing, whatever that idol is, you're enslaved to it. It doesn't help you. If your idol is being liked or just, you know, never wanting confrontation, then you'll always, then people are your God, and they're the ones that you're going to have to, you'll be enslaved by them is what I'm saying. Doesn't matter what those idols, and if you've never heard of this type of teaching, I just encourage you to get the book Counterfeit Gods by Tim Keller and read it through and see if you can unearth some of the idols of your heart that maybe have been hidden for years and years and years and years. Okay, so we're talking about stopping clinging to what has been closed. Okay, point three. Move forward into what God has for you. Look at verse 2 of our text. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready. Letting go isn't about loss. It's about readiness. God never calls us to die to something without having a promised land to enter into. And I think this is the piece that we miss. Is that it's not just about letting go, it's getting ready. For me, God can provide a more abundant life for me and my family here in Toronto than in Nashville, Tennessee, if I'll just let him. God can create for you a promised land as you let go of what needs to be let go. God has a promised land for each and every one of us. You know, I have some friends even in this room who have closed a chapter in another country and are now here. You know, and it's hard, you know, you're grieving and the loss, the friends change. But God has a promised land in the next step of the journey for my friends, and they know who I'm talking about. So what's the point? We can't possess Canaan while wandering around Sinai. God had to get Moses out of the way so Joshua could rise into his leadership. And when we grieve the right way, we can move forward in faith. So here's a prophetic encouragement. If something is dying or has already died in your life, don't see it as an end. See it as God clearing the path for what's next. There's a new land, a new chapter, a new assignment. And God is calling you to rise, to go in and step into it. You know, even Jesus, talking about his own life, said this: "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus led the way in dying for us. But think about it. He didn't have some negative thing that he had to leave. He was already in a place where the streets are paved with gold and in perfect fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was nothing that had to die for him. He chose to let it die for you and me so that we could rise. The person who never needed to let anything die willingly chose to die. And he did that to bring life for each and every one of us. Now, it's difficult. Let me just share the tension of this message. It is difficult to picture what God might have for us as we acknowledge what's dead and stop clinging to what God has closed, But we have this assurance in Scripture from 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So even though we can't necessarily see it right now, what that promised land is, yeah, it's hard to see. No eye has seen, no ear has heard all that God has for you and I. But that's where the walk of faith comes in. That's where belief in the Scripture and trusting God and hanging on to what his word says and not even our own fears. So here's my wrap up. I called this sermon, Let It Die. But actually, we could have named it, Let It Live. Let It Live. And I had a question at the beginning about, you know, are there things in your life? And as I've been praying for each and every one of you as I was preparing this message, I said, Lord, it's going to take the Spirit to prompt our hearts and minds to know, you know, what those things are that God's saying, let that die. Or the season of grieving is over. Or whatever it is. But I believe that this is where the ministry of the word turns over and into the ministry of the Spirit. Because God knows. And he can speak that to each of your heart. And maybe there's some people here saying, you know, you're just in a, you're in an in-between season. There's nothing that, you know, God is asking you to, you know, die or consider dead right now. But if there is, I believe the Holy Spirit will make it plain to you and I. I want to just have a moment of prayer and reflection on that. And then I have a closing prayer that I wrote. So Lord, as we listen to your word and this challenge even, Lord, if there's things in our lives that you're saying, you have to acknowledge that that's dead, you have to stop clinging to it, and you have to step into what's next. That, Lord, whatever that may be, it might be a relationship, might be a job, might be, who knows, just whatever it may be, Lord, can you show us? Amen. So here's the prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Today we acknowledge what you declared. Moses, my servant, is dead. Help us not just to know when a chapter is over, but to live like it. Where we have been clinging to the past, old dreams, relationships, or roles, give us the grace to release them. Help us see that letting go is not loss, but preparation for what's next. Give us courage to move forward. Help us to grieve well, release fully, and step boldly into what you have for us. We trust that you are clearing the path, not to leave us empty, but to lead us into promise. Thank you, Jesus, who died that we might live, and for the new beginning you've prepared for each one of us. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.